Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for being able to now receive of your word. We've worshiped you. We've heard some announcements. We've even participated in giving our offering to you, to the work that you do, and being free from financial worry as a result. And now, Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, speak to us by the power of your Spirit. We need to hear a word from you that will change our hearts, that will have an impact in our lives. So we're believing that you're going to do that. So thank you for feeding us your word today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We are concluding in our series. We're concluding our series, Elevate, and in particular, we're talking about elevate your thoughts or elevate your thought life. And this is going to be what I believe is the conclusion of the series that we have been in. And we know that we are to think on those things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. That's what the book of Colossians tells us. And so far, with regards to this study on our thought life, we discovered that many people act thoughtlessly. That was our first sermon on this particular topic. And by the way, you can go to our YouTube page to find these sermons if you want to review, because I can't go back into them this time. I'm just going to give you a recap. So far we've discovered that people act thoughtlessly, and they act thoughtlessly when they act according to their feelings. Remember that? Some of you might remember. People act thoughtlessly when they act out of habit. Some of you might remember that as well. People act thoughtlessly when they go with the flow, or they go with the crowd. They're just allowing the crowd to determine how they're going to move forward. And then people act thoughtlessly when they let others tell them what to do. And if you didn't get that sermon, I want to encourage you to get that. And then next, we discovered that the thoughts of natural man are tainted by sin. We discovered that last time. In fact, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, I'm going to read that to you. And I want to encourage you, by the way, to go ahead and get your notebook and get your pen or pencil, along with your Bible, so that you can write down some of the references that I'm going to give, because I'm going to be giving quite a few references, because we want to let the Word of God speak for itself. And so here in Genesis chapter 6, it says this: "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Everybody remember that? And we discussed that last time, how it even repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, because man's thoughts, they were tainted by sin. I mentioned that when we fell into sin, not only did it impact us spiritually, in that there was a separation between us and God, and also that the ground would fail to yield its fruit, as God said that man, that curses the ground for man's sake, and you're going to have to till it by the sweat of your brow in order for it to come up. Remember, thorns and thistles came as a result of sin. And not only that, but man's thought life became tainted by sin. In fact, we discovered that the heart is deceitful. Remember that? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And remember, we were talking about it's very difficult to know what you will do in situations that you've not been under before, things that you haven't done before, places you haven't been before, situations that hadn't occurred before. In fact, some of us are finding out what we will do now. We've never had a pandemic such as this COVID-19 to hit our country the way it has, and in fact, to hit the world the way it has. And so some people are finding out right now what they will do, because this is new. And remember, the heart is deceitful above all things. And we even talked about how people can deceive themselves. Even believers can deceive themselves. And the way they do that, James says, believers deceive deceive themselves by being hearers of the word and not doers of the word. They know the word, they know what the Bible says, but they fail to do that. And as such, they are deceiving themselves. And remember, Jesus told us, hey, you know what? It's not what goes into the man that defiles the man, because those religious leaders of his day would say, hey, well, why did your disciples eat without washing their hands first, without going through the ceremonial washing? And Jesus said, hey, it's not what goes into the man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the man's heart that defiles the man. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked. But we found out last time that God addressed the problem of the heart and of the mind. Remember that? And I'm going to read this, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. It says this, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And this is God speaking. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds. Remember that? And write them on their hearts. So God said, I'm going to address their thought life, their thinking, and I'm going to address their emotion life, their feelings, right? I'm going to write them in their minds and put them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Everybody remember that there? So he says, none of them shall teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. I'm going to make sure that they know me, because I'm going to write this in their heart and in their minds. And he says this, I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Everybody remember that there? So God is saying, I have a plan of forgiveness for the unrighteous. And this plan, not only do I forgive them of their sins, but I begin to make myself known in their mind and in their hearts. Oh, that's good for you and I to know. Some people say, well, you know, I just know I'm going to heaven because I'm saved, right? And some people see heaven as the only benefit, if you will, of salvation. But I want to let you know that there are several benefits to salvation. There are several, and some of you know, our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, that he's a forgiver of our sins, that he gives us our daily bread. I mean, that he answers our prayers, asking it will be given, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. I mean, there's so many benefits of salvation, but I want to let you know that having God to be able to engage with you in your thoughts, life and in your emotions is of great benefit as well. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise. See, these are areas that many people are not aware that God wants to intervene in. He wants to engage himself in your thought life and in your feelings, in your emotions, so that you're not led by your thoughts, neither are you led by your feelings, but you are led by your God. And the only way for that to happen is for you to understand that God wants to be preeminent in your thinking, and he wants to be preeminent in your emotions. In other words, it's all about him in those areas of our lives. Hallelujah. So we discovered last time that we elevate our thought life by doing three things. Number one, by repenting and turning to the Lord. Remember that? And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, it says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There it is. God addresses it right away. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God is saying, repent. repent, turn to me, let your thought life go. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to show you. And in this sermon, we actually show you how to put this into action. But God is saying, let the wicked man, let the evil man, let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. You know, your thoughts can get you in trouble. Some of you know that right offhand. Some of you are aware of this. Amen. Let me see the hands of you who know that your thoughts can get you in trouble. If you let them run, they can get you in trouble. And God says, so I want you to do, just forsake that. Now, I'm going to give you what's necessary, but forsake your thoughts and turn to me. Hallelujah. So we discover that we can elevate by repenting and turning to the Lord. Number two, by relying on the revelation of the Spirit. And I mentioned before that is being guided by God's Spirit as he reveals to us what he desires that we do. And that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Everybody see that there? And so when the Spirit, when we forsake our thoughts and we say, okay, God, I need to know what you desire me do. I need to know how you desire that I respond to this. God's Holy Spirit will then begin to reveal to you, hallelujah, how you are to move forward. Praise God. This is called walking by the Spirit, right? We're asking God during that time of decision making, or maybe even when we're thinking about how something is going on, we're saying, Lord, would you guard my thoughts right now? I need to hear from your Spirit because I know how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking right now. And what I'm thinking right now doesn't line up with what you say. And I want my thoughts to line up with what you say. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to us that next step or how we are to submit those thoughts to him. And then lastly, we elevate our thoughts by being receptive to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're just going to drop down to verse 13. It says, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Notice this. You might understand this. And some of you may not have known this. We just kind of do it. But every time before I preach, I pray. How many of you know that that's what happens? Every time before I preach, I pray. I pray because you need to hear from God. You don't need to hear from Will. Now God will use Will as a vessel, but you need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And you need to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is why we pray regularly for Bible study. Anytime you get into the Word, I want to encourage you, pray that the Holy Spirit will teach you. Every time you hear a sermon, even as I'm praying, don't just rely on my prayer. I pray that you say, Lord, use Pastor Will. Lord, I pray that you will speak through him. I don't want to hear from him. I want to hear from you. It's okay to pray. It's okay to pray that prayer while I'm praying. I want to encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, because that's what he does. It's one of the things he does. He's our comforter, but he's also our teacher. And Jesus told us that he would be. So he says, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I'm going to leave that passage of scripture right now so that we can get right into today. So that was review, but right in today. See, today we discover how to fight to elevate our thoughts. We found out that we are to trust God with our thinking, that we are to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are to rely on what he reveals to us, and we are to rely on what he teaches us. And he's going to teach us this through his Word and through life. As we live life, he's going to teach us, right? But how do we fight? How do we fight to stay in this place where God has control, if you will, of my thoughts, or he has access to tweak my thoughts in ways they need to be tweaked? Hallelujah. Well, we discovered that today, the mind is a battlefield. See, the mind is the battlefield. In this battle, the devil uses the power of suggestion. in this battle. And I want you to turn with me, and I want you to go here in your Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, but we're not going to look at all of what happened. We're just going to look at a passage of scripture to illustrate how the devil uses the power of suggestion in this battle that's raging in our mind. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Everybody see that there? "And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Everybody see that there? Now, I want to stop there. We're not going to go into the rest of the conversation. What we're looking at how the devil approached the woman through the power of suggestion. He said, "Has God indeed said?" Oh, praise God. See, and I believe that that's one of the tactics that the devil still uses today. He will pose that question in your thinking, and sometimes you think you're thinking that question. This is the power of suggestion. Sometimes you think you're thinking, did God really say he would provide for you? Wait a minute. This situation is different. Is God really going to provide for you? Did God say he would provide for you when you're doing everything right? Did God say he would provide for you in this situation? You see how the enemy, now God says, "I shall supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory." In fact, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added unto you." But the enemy, through the power of suggestion, will cause you to think in your thoughts, did God really say that to you? Did God really mean that for you? Did God really say you are his servant? Did God really place you in your church? Did God really say the Bible is his word? Oh, hallelujah. I'm letting you know, many people are tempted in these areas. Many people he's suggesting these thoughts to many people. And if you are not careful, you will bite and begin to chew on these things. Did God really say you have to be faithful to your spouse? Oh, glory to God. Did God really say that you are satisfied as a single person? Oh, let me let you know that he's going to attack in every way he can, and the mind is the battlefield. Did God really say children should obey their parents? What about if their parents aren't doing the right thing? See, the enemy, he's not going to stop at the one question, by the way. He will continue. Did God really say to trust him with all your heart? I mean, there's some things God could do, but you know there's some things you need to do. See, the enemy wants you to become self-sufficient in that you're doing things yourself now. And he will, through the power of suggestion, use that same method he used against the woman. Did God really say? Did God really say there's only one way to Jesus? Did he really say that? Did God really say you are competent in him? Just think about this. And so one of the ways that the enemy will wage war against you in your mind is through that power of suggestion. And he's always, and I'm going to say this again, he's always going to attack some area that brings about doubt in your thinking. Why? Because doubt is, I want to say it's opposite of faith. Faith believes God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if the enemy can attack you in your faith, then he can begin to whittle away in your mind. And before you know it, you might be doing things you never thought you would do. You might be in a place you never thought you would be. And I want to encourage you today, before I even go further in this message, I want to encourage you to fight against the attacks of the devil. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to fight. You believe what God says. You don't believe the question. Did God really say, yeah, he said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Did God really say, yeah, that's what he said, but that's not where you are, Will, but that's what God says. And I'm going to believe what God says until it takes me to where God wants me to be. Glory to God. Don't give in to the uncertainty. Don't give in to the doubt. I want to encourage you to believe what God said. If the questions come, let the questions come. It's okay that the questions come. And by the way, there's no sin in the question. The sin is how I move forward from that question. How I begin to move forward can be categorized as sin. God wants you and me to trust Him. He wants you and me to learn about Him. This is why, you know, I want to say I have a problem with it, and I'm going to say it. I have a problem with believers that don't get in their word, because God has so much for them and they need to know so much about God, so much about the walk. But if they're not in their word, how can they know what God said? And therefore, the enemy can pull them away. So the tempter, the devil, used this same approach with Jesus. Remember that? In Matthew chapter 4, some of you might remember this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Now when the tempter came to him," which is the devil, "he said, 'If you are the Son of God,'" notice that, "if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread." Now, we're not going to go into the rest of the temptation. What we're going to look at, how he used the power of suggestion to even question Jesus's personage. If you are the Son of God. Everybody see that there? That battlefield is the mind. And Satan was waging that war with Jesus in the mind. If you be the Son of God, prove it some kind of way. Prove it some kind of way that God has that you can show who you are. And remember that if Jesus would have turned those stones into bread, that would not have been God's plan for him. Therefore, he did not turn those stones into bread. But the enemy, through the power of suggestion, he said, "If you are the Son of God," there it is again, that to cause that doubt. If you are his or her spouse, then they should treat you like XYZ. See, a lot of married couples, sometimes they have problem because the enemy is saying, "Well, if you are his wife, he should be treating you like such and such." Or if you are her husband, she should be doing such and such. She should be honoring you. And oftentimes we start focusing on that, what the enemy puts in our ear, and it takes us away from the guide for husbands and wives. Did you know that the guide for husbands and wives is found in the Bible? It really is. In fact, it's in Ephesians chapter 5. Some of you know it well. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, there's a lot of nuances in there, but the guide is right there. But the enemy doesn't want you to go to the guide. He wants you to go to how you feel. Glory to God. He wants you to go by what you think. He wants you to go by what you're experiencing in your thought life and in your feelings, and not what God says. Because he knows that if he can get us in these areas, ladies and gentlemen, then he can render us useless for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we can even be the one that tears down our relationship, tears down our marriage or our family. We can be the one that's breaking relationships. We can be the one that's no longer supporting those who need to be supported. We can be the ones that are no longer ministering to the ones who need to be ministered to. Why? Because we're caught up in the tricks, the traps, and the snares of Satan. And I want to help you understand that today so that you know how to fight. Amen. How many fighters do we have out there in the name of Jesus? I see those hands. We have those that are saying, "You know what? I'm finding out how he used to attack this way, and I see how he attacks, Pastor Will, but I'm learning how to fight. I'm learning how to say, I know how I feel, but that's not what God says. I'm learning how to say, I know what I'm thinking right now, but that's not what God says. I'm learning to submit myself to God in my thought life and in my emotions." Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. We're learning. So these battles that we're talking about, see, they're spiritual in nature. I want you to turn with me in your Bible, and we're just going to look at another couple of passages of scriptures, and I'm going to let you go. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. See, these battles are spiritual in nature. They're spiritual. When Eve was tempted by the devil, that was a spiritual battle. When Satan was, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, that was a spiritual battle. The enemy used natural things like the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for the woman and turning stones into bread for Jesus. He used natural things, but the warfare was a spiritual warfare. And you want to know that so you understand how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Look at what it says. It says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, I could stop right there. We've received the instruction that we need. The strength doesn't come from us. The power doesn't come from us. Let me say it this way. The strength you need doesn't come from you. And the power that you need doesn't come from you. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everybody see that there? Now, when I used to look at that passage of scripture, I used to look at it in the context of God saying, here, son, this is my armor. I'm putting it on you. See, I used to look at that passage of scripture like that. And some of you may look at that passage like that, where God has put the armor on me. Guess what? It didn't say that God put the armor on you. It says that you've been given the armor of God. And guess who needs to put it on? You! Glory to God. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, you can look at the rest of this passage or rest of the scripture to find out what the armor is, because we're not going to go to that and go through that in detail, but it is your responsibility to put on the armor. What if you're out there in battle? And my wife and I, we like to watch these period pieces, you know, these period series, a period movie, you know, maybe it's the 16th century, 17th century, where they're fighting with the shields and the swords and the bucklers and the hammers and the battle axes. I love to see the strategies that are involved in those hand-to-hand combat kind of battles, right? Now, what would you look like if you're going to war? You're going to war and you're lined up and you're ready to charge and you don't have your armor on. Glory to God. You have to have your, in fact, if the captain or the centurion or whoever was the leader at that time, if they saw you without your armor on, they would say, what are you doing? Aren't you aware of the warfare that we're engaged in? And I want to say there's some believers, it's like you're leaving your armor, you're going by what you think, you're going by what you feel, you're engaging in this, and sometimes you can be all over the map. Why? Because you haven't put on what God has given you to put on. So put on the whole armor of God. And then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. See, it's not a flesh and blood, it's not man-to-man combat. It's not woman-to-woman combat. It's not even woman-to-man combat. I know some husbands and wives beg to differ, but it's not woman-to-man contact. It is not. It is spiritual in nature. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, he says it again, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Everybody see that there? So we, you and I, need to rely on God and in the power of his might. And we put on that whole armor by saying, okay, God, I am going to do what you say. I'm going to see it from your perspective. I know that I'm saved. I have my helmet on. I'm operating in your righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is not my righteousness, but it is yours. My loins girded about with truth. I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to obey the truth, and I'm going to believe the truth, by the way. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have a mission. I have a purpose. You've called me to do specific things, and I believe that. I have my shield of faith where I can stop all the fiery darts of the enemy, and I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that is my offensive weapon. I believe what you say, and my sword is sharp. Hallelujah. How many of you got a sharp sword out there today? See, that's your armor. That's your armor. And I want to encourage you, just take some time to read about these pieces of your armor and how they apply to you. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have the ability to win the battles in the mind. You and I do. We can win the battles in the mind because we found out that they're spiritual, but we also found out that it's not our strength, it's not our might, but it's being strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, is having our whole armor on, and then we can move forward. And let me just let you know this. When you have the full armor of God, did you know, although you may be attacked, no attack will succeed? Oh, let me say that again, because I want you to hear that. When you have the whole armor of God on, you may be attacked, but the attacks will be unsuccessful. They cannot penetrate. A believer that has the full armor of God on, those attacks do not penetrate. You might fight and you may battle. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to fight and you're going to battle, but you're going to have the victory because God would not give you faulty armor. Glory to God. God would not give you what would not sustain you in battle. He knows. Remember, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taking you but such as common is to man. And God is faithful. With that test, He will not allow you to be tried with more than you are able. Everybody understand that? Now, I know that's a little different, but I want to bring it together. That means not only will there be no temptation that can destroy you with the armor of God, there is no attack that can destroy you when you have the full armor of God on. And you say, well, Pastor Will, I hear what you're saying, but there have been times I haven't had the full armor of God. In fact, I'm just hearing the importance of having the full armor of God on now. Well, guess what? God is a forgiver, isn't He? He's a forgiver of sin. And He said, you know what? I know, son, daughter, you may not have had it on, but I, not only have I forgiven you of that because you asked, but I've restored you. You are restored. See, we all start off as privates, right, in God's army. And if the truth be told, we're still privates in God's army. We just learn how to fight, amen? We just learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, having the whole armor of God on. So for those of you who say, well, you know, Pastor Will, I'm just learning this. That's fine. Learn it and begin to walk in this. And some of you say, well, Pastor Will, you know, I know this, but man, I've been blindsided. The enemy has been wreaking havoc in my life. And now I'm reminded of what I need to do. Praise God. Praise God. That's where God wants us to be. This is why He's even given us this series that He's giving us, elevating our thought life, because He desires that you and I would trust Him at this level. Let me let you know that the Christian walk is not superficial. The Christian walk isn't surface. The Christian walk is deep. And these are some of those deep areas that God desires that you and I would go. I was watching something the other day, and somebody made this profound statement, and the person said, ooh, that was deep. Well, God desires that you and I would be deep with Him, that we would not, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and you know you have stuff in your heart. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. And you know you have things on your mind that you know, may be problematic. God says, give me those things. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Oh, isn't that good? So even if you may be in that place where you've not been successful in some of the battles and you're learning this, God is saying, that's okay, my son. That's okay, my daughter. Let's just get with the program. Let's just surrender to me and you will learn this victory regularly. You will learn how to have victory regularly. Isn't God good? See, he takes us from where we are to where he wants us to be, but he's the lead, we're not the lead. Let me continue this. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have the power to win the battles of the mind. And you say, well, Pastor Will, how does that happen? How do I win? Well, it's simple, but it's also complex in application, but it's simple in illustration. That is, you must believe what God said. Isn't that simple? You must believe what God says. Now, I'll just get to the punchline. Some of you will have to dig in to scripture to find out what he says about specific things in your life. And that's what he desires to do. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal and to teach you those things as we said he would do. But see, it's a real exposure to the Word of God, searching for those deep answers, searching for those deep issues, searching to find out what God says. And I want to challenge every one of you that is in our service today. I want to challenge you to search for God in that way. Search for God in a way that you're looking for hidden treasure. You're looking for a word that you need for whatever area it is in your life. I would say, don't let go until you get it. In fact, you know, we having questions and answers in our Bible study next week. If you have a question, it might be a question as to, well, Pastor Will, how can I live this life based on this circumstance that I'm in? If you want to submit that kind of question, I want to encourage you to do so, because God wants you to search the scriptures. And that's not a penalty. That denotes a hunger to do it his way. Oh, let me keep going here. So you and I must believe what God says. See, you defeat the Bible. You defeat the devil when you believe the Bible. You defeat the devil when you believe what God says. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and this is going to be one of the the final scriptures that I'm going to share with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When you believe God, a spiritual phenomenon takes place. See, when you say, I believe what God says, regardless of what I'm thinking, regardless of how I'm feeling, I believe what the Word says. I believe what the Spirit of God has shown me in the Word of God. See, when you do that, there's a spiritual phenomenon that takes place that I want to at least help you to see so that you can know that that happens. And when that happens, it encourages you to continue to believe God regardless. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 3 first. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Everybody see that there? And we already said that, that it's a spiritual battle. And he's saying that again. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Everybody see that there? So it's mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Well, strongholds in this case are, it's thinking that has set up residence in your mind. See, these are ways that we think, and it's represented by what I consider represented in two ways. One, these are thoughts that dominate. Thoughts that dominate, and you can't seem to see it any other way. And that's not the way God wants you to see it, but you can't seem to see it any other way. Even though you might be in this place, if you find yourself saying to someone who's saying what God says, you say, yeah, I know, but. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but. See, you might be in that place where that thinking dominates to the degree that you know what God says, but you can't shake the way you think about it. You can't shake the way you think. I know you're right, but. I understand. Yeah, I understand. And I hear this a lot when I'm talking to someone. Oh, yeah, I understand. I understand. But you don't know. I understand. But see here, that may be a stronghold. That may be a place, a fortified area in your thought life that up until this time, no one has been able to tear down. No one has been able to address in some cases, and no one has been able to approach in other cases. So that stronghold, their thoughts that dominate. And then the stronghold can also be thoughts that you address, and you know them to be erroneous, full of error, and you know that, and you address it, but somehow or another, it comes back again. Somewhere down the road, it's coming back again. It's so like, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for such and such and such. And then a month or two later, here it is again. I'm still thinking how I thought when I believed God had done what I thought God would do. Everybody understand that? See, you find yourself back in that frame of mind. See, that may be a stronghold in your thinking, but I want to let you know, as you believe God, see, God says, trust him. And as we trust him supernaturally, it tears down those strongholds. His supernatural power gives you the ability to surrender that to him. And as you surrender that thinking, Lord, here I am again, but I'm going to trust you. Here I am again. I'm not going to move by how I feel. I'm not going to move by how I think, but I'm going to search your scripture, Lord, and I'm going to trust you for an outcome. I'm going to look for outside of myself, which is to you, so you can guide me in this. And as you do, guess what? God, by the truth of his word, begins to tear down those strongholds. Hallelujah. That's why it's best to know what the word says. Don't go by what people say. Don't go by what they say. They say erects strongholds. What God says tears down strongholds. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say that again. What they say could keep fortifying thought that God does not desire to be fortified in your thinking, but what God says tears down the lie. It tears down the insinuation. It tears down the erroneous thinking. It tears down the stronghold. And you say, okay, well, Pastor Will, how can I trust God in this supernatural way? I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm along with you. How can I surrender? Use this term, surrender to God. Well, let me let you know that you must die to self and live to God. You must die to self and live to God. Look at Romans chapter 12. It says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. You know what a living sacrifice is? Now, we all know what a dead sacrifice is, something that was sacrificed to a deity. That's something that gave its life, or its life was taken for that deity. What God is saying, I want you to give me your life, but keep living. I want you to give me your life, but you're going to keep living, but you're going to live your life as though you died on my behalf. Remember, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him pick up his cross daily, deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. Remember that? Some of you remember that? Well, that daily self-denial denotes that you have given yourself to God as a living sacrifice. And as you have given yourself to God, that means you're receiving instruction from God. You're receiving insight from God. You're receiving help from God. You're receiving hope from God. You're choosing never to do anything in your own strength, because you say, I'm dead. I've died, so I need Christ. And look at what happens when you do that. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The New International says it's your reasonable act of worship. And look at what verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed transformed by the renewing of your mind. Glory to God. See, when we give ourselves as those living sacrifices and we are reliant upon the Lord and Him only through the power of His Holy Spirit, through what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we are engaging in the Word of God, guess what God does? He begins to renew our mind. And He do this, He does it time and time and time and time and time again. My mom says it this way, it's a mind thing. Same mind, same results, but a changed mind, changed results. And God desires through our complete submission by being sacrifices to Him, living sacrifices, guess what He does? He begins to renew our mind. Oh yeah, I remember some of this in my personal life. I've shared this story before, and I'm going to share just a little bit of it. I remember when I was dating Sister Jackie, and our dating, we found out, you know, that the Lord was putting us together, and we made it known to our pastor. And I remember there was this spiritual leader that says, she's not spiritual enough for you. She's not going to be your wife. And I believed it. I said, okay, see, that's what I'm saying. I believe that came from the leader of God, the man of God. And I didn't have a question. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Even though I felt I loved this woman and I could love this woman as my wife, I even went against how I felt and I went against how I thought. And I say, okay, and I told Sister Jackie, hey, we're not going to get married because I was told that you're not the one. And my wife went to my mother. My mother was in the same area. Sister Jackie went to Dr. Yancey. She went to Mama Yancey, and she told Mama Yancey what happened, and Mama Yancey called me. Mama Yancey called me, and she said, I need to see you, Will. And I could tell by the tone of my mother's voice that she really wanted to see me. And I went down there and we talked, and Mom shared some insight with me. She says, I know it's good for you to follow the man of God. I know it's good for you to have a spiritual leader, and you should. God ordained it to be so. But she said, but Will, you have to start learning how to hear from God yourself. You need to start learning how to hear from God yourself. And she showed me Job, and Job said, yea, though God may slay me, yet will I trust Him, and in my own ways I will serve the Lord. And when she told me that, I began to go into Scripture, and I began to seek God. And God, well, you know the end of the story, she's been my wife for 32 years now, amen? So here, but my point here is I was willing to forsake how I felt and what I thought, and God brought me to the truth. Let me ask you this, are you willing to do that? Now, I'm not your guide, I'm not your example, but God is. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, okay, God, it don't matter how I feel, it doesn't matter what I think, I'm gonna do what you say. Oh, that's the kind of sacrifice that we're talking about. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know, we do that by letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so we are to do that. We are to expose ourselves to the Word of God, hear from God, surrender ourselves. My thinking doesn't matter. My feelings don't matter. Now, let me say this. I'm not being callous to say that I don't feel and I don't think. But what I'm saying is I would rather learn what God has for me than to be led by my own thinking and led by my own feelings. I would rather find out what God says about the matter. It doesn't mean I don't think, and it doesn't mean I don't feel, because we do both as human beings. But we learn how to surrender to God, and as such, we're elevating our thinking. As such, we're not being motivated by how we feel or think, but we're saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to close with this. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, remember that? We don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds. So we talked about what strongholds are, and we talked about how God addresses strongholds with the truth of his word in obedience to that word, right? Casting down arguments, verse 5 says, and having and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought, everybody see that there? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So then the question becomes, when you are thinking a certain way, when you are feeling a certain way, are you surrendering that to the obedience of Christ? In other words, you might feel that way, you might think that way, but let God process you through how you're feeling and how you're thinking so that your outcome is in line with what God desires you to do. Your outcome is one that's pleasing to God. See, that's it. That's where we've elevated our thinking to the degree that we've allowed God access to help us now do the right thing, to say the right thing, to move in the right directions. The Net Bible says that same verse this way, and I'm going to close. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. We tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ. Oh, I like that translation, because what that means is, if I'm thinking something that's crazy, if I'm thinking something that's off, I'm going to say, you know what, Will? That ain't nothing but you or the devil. Neither one of those is God. And I'm going to make this thought surrender to what God says. God says, as the ladies found out yesterday, I'm beautifully and wonderfully created. God says, as the men found out yesterday, that we are to be praying men. God says that he has called me for such a time as this. God says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Are you getting this today? Are you seeing how you can say, God says this, and that eliminates strongholds and it brings thoughts into subjection of Jesus Christ? Those who struggle with being intentional about a daily diet of God's word will have major problems in this area. If you're not reading your word, you're going to have some problems because you get your instruction from God. You find out the truth of the matter. Jesus said it this way, you'll know the truth. And the truth will do what, ladies and gentlemen? I see your mouths moving out there. The truth will make you free. And God wants you to be free today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word that you've given us today to help us to know how to elevate our thinking, how to trust you with our thinking, how to trust you even in our thought processes where the enemy may interject some thought, or maybe even habit may interject some thought. I might think some thought myself that's not aligned with your plan and your purpose for me. But you've shown me today, Lord, you've shown us today how we can counter those thoughts with the word of God. And as we believe what God says, it tears down the strongholds. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us to be obedient to what we hear. Lord, some of us need to spend some time away from TV, away from social media, away from distractions, with Bible, pencil, and pad in hand, learning what you have to say about things that we think. Some of us need to be even more intentional about learning of you. You say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of us need to be more intentional about learning of you, because we've been going by what they say. We've been going by what we feel. We've been going by how we think. And God says that you want us to go by what you say. Help us to find out what you say about every situation and circumstance we face in life. And even when the Bible isn't explicit, there are places where it is implicit. It implies certain things. And even when we may not be able to find through its explicitity and its implicitness, we may not find the exact answer. That's where the Holy Spirit says, well, this is the answer for you. This is what I have for you. This is what I want you to do. And so I thank you, Lord, that even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. You've made a way for us to just surrender to you, and you take care of our needs. Now, you can't have this kind of deep relationship with God without going through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I just want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as the gateway, if you will, to relationship with God. And you say, Pastor Will, that's what I want to do. Well, just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me for doing things my way. I believe that you died and you were buried for me. And you rose from the dead for me, to give me life, to give me instruction, to give me a relationship with God. And now I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I give my life to you today. And I want you, Lord, to live life through me, to help me with my thought life and my emotion life. And I surrender those to you today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'm going to pray one more prayer and let you go. I want to pray for those of you, if you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you let us know somehow, either on our Facebook page or an email? And you can email me directly, or you can go to our website and post it in our comments section, and that'll go directly to me. It won't go to all of our folks in our church. It'll come to me, and then you can let me know that you've accepted Christ. But for those of you who know Christ, I want to pray a prayer. Every head bow, every eye closed. Father, I thank you for giving us this instruction with regards to our thought life, and we know that it's a word that's instant in season. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill everyone in this service with your Holy Spirit to be able to fulfill the call that you have on their lives. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them what's necessary to stand against the schemes of the devil. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We'll see.